This interview is brought to you by Westbrook. Dina Zoccolo, who is a director at Westbrook, joins us. Now, good to be talking to you again, Dina, so we can get a little bit of an update on exactly how the whole debt market in the UK has been going. Hopefully, there'll be more interest now, given the place that South Africa is, the international community. But we're not talking politics today. We're talking about how to get your money safe and make money out of it. But maybe just by way of background, those in the BizNews tribe who don't know about Westbrook, unpack for us briefly in a nutshell what you guys do.
Yeah, hi, Alec, and hello to everyone watching. It's always a pleasure to chat to you and nice to be able to do this more frequently now. So for those of you who haven't come across Westbrook, Westbrook is a business that's been around since 2004, so we're now more than 20 years old. The business is owned by three sets of individuals. It's our founder, a chap by the name of Martin Sachs. It's through a structure, business Capricorn, which is the Enthoven family, who are well known in South Africa for being the owners of Hollard. And then there's involvement in Nando's and Ambient Hotel Group and other assets, and then the management team. And really, Alec, Westbrook's mission is to provide a South African investor, or as I call them, South African connected capital, because a lot of our investors don't live in South Africa anymore. They may have trust structures or shore, etc. But it's to provide South African connected capital with access to the global world of alternatives or of private markets, as I prefer to refer to them. Head office is here in Johannesburg, where I'm currently sitting. But we've got a team of 40 people around the world. So there's 25 in Johannesburg, 14 now in London, and a couple in the United States. And really, the idea is that, and we can talk about it if you'd like, alternatives or private markets are probably the investment theme of the world at the moment when it comes to the investing sort of ecosystem. And the big names globally are well known: Blackstone, KKR, Brookfield, Apollo, etc. But there isn't a house in South Africa that is focused on providing South African connected capital with access to the global world of alternatives. And that really is what Westbrook's mission is. We've now got about $13 billion in assets under management, more than 3,000 investors, more than 100 wealth management businesses who allocate capital to us. And we're very excited to be, I'd say, probably the house in the country that is spearheading the lead or the charge to give South Africans access to the global world of alternatives.
And you are South Africans as well, which really does help a whole lot. How does a member of the tribe listening to or watching this conversation that we're having get to take advantage or to participate?
Yeah, there's three different ways you can do it. The first, Alec, is you can get hold of myself or a member of Westbrook's team, and you can invest with us directly. That is probably the least friction approach to investing with us. But it depends. If you're investing offshore, you might want to use, for example, an endowment wrapper, which has certain benefits. So if you invest with us directly, you are generally going to make an investment in your personal capacity and directly with Westbrook. The second and probably the most popular way at the moment is through your wealth advisor. So if you use some form of an independent financial advisor or a wealth management business, as I mentioned earlier, there's lots of them who have relationships with us. They are pretty well set up now to access our products globally. And I'd say that the challenge that I would give to my advisor, if you're looking to gain access to what we do, is to ask them if they have a relationship with Westbrook. And if not, maybe, you know, I'd say give them the gentle nudge to reach out and begin to build a relationship. And then more recently, we've begun to build relationships with institutions, for example, the multi-managers around South Africa. So if you're invested, for example, in a retirement annuity fund or a living annuity or something like that, you may indirectly have exposure to Westbrook's products now through the allocations that they make to us.
You mentioned earlier that alternative investments are becoming increasingly popular. I guess anybody who has money invested in equities, in US equities, where we do have our business portfolio, you can see that it bounces around. It's a terribly turbulent place and not conducive to having a good night's sleep, certainly not at the moment. Is this part of the reason why alternatives like debt products are becoming more popular?
Yeah, I think that's exactly it. There's probably two or three major themes, Alec. The first is the traditional 60-40 portfolio. So if you went back 50 years, the traditional conventional wisdom around investing had 60% allocation to equities and a 40% allocation to bonds, should I say, with no allocation to alternatives. And that portfolio worked really well because in times when the markets did well, the 60% of equities, you know, took sort of the main role of creating returns. And then when things did badly, what happened is bonds acted as the shock absorbers of a portfolio. So even though equities underperformed, your bonds kind of readied the ship. And that worked really well until about COVID time, Alec. And what happened in COVID was we moved into sort of a low growth, high inflation world. And when that happened, what's been very interesting is that for the first time in a very, very long time, is the correlation between equities and bonds has become positive and very strongly positive. So because of inflation, what we're seeing in the world at the moment is that when equities rise, bonds rise now too. And when they fall together. And so in today's world, bonds can no longer be the shock absorbers of the portfolio that they once were. And so what's happening is everything in one's portfolio is moving in the same direction, which produces risk. At the same time, if you look at, for example, the JSE or even in the United States, the amount of listed companies has halved since about 1990, but market caps have gone up. And so you've got these two very interesting things going on. Number one is you've got more money concentrated in fewer stocks, which means that your clients are becoming more and more concentrated and correlated. And then at the same time, your 60-40 allocation isn't working as well as it used to. And that, I think, is what has given rise to private markets. And we asked our investor base towards the back end of last year, Alec, what are the primary reasons that you invest with Westbrook in alternatives? And my gut was that they would say, I get better returns, which you do in private markets. But actually, the primary answers were diversification and lack of correlation to the traditional markets. And so I think really the role that alternatives are playing, and we can talk about typical allocations if you want in a portfolio, is to act as a diversifier in today's highly correlated world.
It's a bit of a shock absorber, as you explained, which you've lost the old shock absorber, so put a new one in there. And before we move on to it, onto the particulars, what kind of a portfolio breakdown would you have now?
So I've done a lot of research into this, and I think it depends on a variety of factors. The first is how many or what the size of your portfolio is in terms of investable assets. And what you see is as you get sort of higher and higher up the curve of how much you have in investable assets, the allocations to alternatives increase and increase and increase. So the numbers out of the likes of Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan, Deutsche, etc., suggest that family offices around the world or very, very ultra high net worth individuals are somewhere between 40 and 60% allocated to alternatives, which is obviously a really high number. But that's because they've got the infrastructure to source transactions and to really, really get into the meat and potatoes of the underlying. In high net worth portfolios, where I think many of the tribe might sit, the kind of what is being discussed at the moment is 15 to 30% of your investable assets go into alternatives as a whole. Now, alternatives as a whole include private debt, private equity, venture capital, hedge funds, infrastructure, etc. So it's still not going to be the entirety of one's investment portfolio. But I think, for example, if you look at where the retail base globally is at the moment, that number is less than 10%. And I'd say in South Africa, it's even lower. So we're kind of talking at the moment from between less than 10 to either 15 to 30 or even above, depending on the type of investor.
And what kind of assets are we talking about?
Depends. There's lots of different types. And I think this is one of the things around Westbrook's USP that is unique, is that if you want to invest, say, in private equity in South Africa, there's a variety of businesses that do that. But what we have is call it a holistic offering under the Westbrook umbrella in multiple asset classes and in multiple geographies. So from a Westbrook perspective, we do four things. We invest in private debt, which have become our flagship offerings, and we can talk about why in a bit. Then there's hybrid capital. So hybrid capital is like that hybrid between debt and equity. So it's things like mezzanine finance, preferred equity, etc. Then we invest in real estate. So we buy direct real estate portfolios. And maybe that's a good way of explaining the difference between an alternative and a traditional. A private loan is the alternative. Buying a bond is the traditional. Buying a property stock on the JSE is the traditional. Making a direct investment into a real estate portfolio is the alternative. And the last thing we do is private equity, which I think is probably the area of alternatives that are the best known. And we do that, as I mentioned, in South Africa, the UK, and the USA. But certainly from a Westbrook perspective, private lending in the market that we find ourselves at the moment has been the most popular, and it's probably because in the last few years, and I'd argue into the future, it is where you're probably able to extract some of the best risk-adjusted returns, which is effectively how much return are you getting per unit of risk that you're assuming.
Last time we spoke, that was the focus of our conversation, and it did appeal, or would appeal to many people. Hard currency, almost double-digit, or getting close to double-digit returns, guaranteed, essentially, because you haven't had any losses before. Hopefully, you can give us an update, and you will continue to say you haven't had any capital drawdowns, as people like in your industry like to call them.
Yeah, so, I mean, let's touch on the private debt asset class for a second, Alex. So Westbrook runs two funds, which are sort of accessed by South African investors in terms of either the South African one is called Westbrook Income Plus, which is a hedge fund vehicle from a legal perspective. Maybe not that relevant, but it's important from a regulatory perspective to mention it. And then our offshore private debt fund is Westbrook Yield Plus, which is marketed to South Africans under a SIPSI registered prospectus. And what do we do? I'll start with the UK because it's probably the biggest and the most popular, with South African portfolios generally being 80% plus invested offshore nowadays with a high net worth base. We lend money in a quicker, better, faster way than what the banks do in an area of the market which is quite underserved. And why is it underserved? Because since 2008, which was the global financial crisis, the banks in the UK had Basel. Basel made lending really expensive, and the amount of red tape and hoops that they need to jump through in order to extend credit now is significant. And so most of the banks, the Goldman Sachs, the HSBCs of the world, etc., have £20 million and above as sort of their entry point to extend credits. And when they do, they want it to be on kind of like a relatively homogenized basis. So Westbrook in the UK extends credit of less than £20 million, specifically in Yield Plus, against someone who owns a property in and around the UK. And so really what we're doing is we're playing the role of bank for a smaller transaction where the banks perhaps don't want to play, or we do it on a shorter duration where the banks want to only write five-year credit. We might have a two-year loan or a three-year loan in the underlying portfolio. And so I think really important is we're not taking, in my view, higher risk than what you would get in the traditional markets. But you're taking different risks because now we're making direct loans to the underlying borrowers. But what's been really nice about the portfolio, Alec, to your point, is we've been going for more than 7 years now. Westbrook Yield Plus is £184 million, so it's quite a big strategy. It's got 42 loans in it. It's currently delivering, I'd say, into 2025. It would probably be somewhere between an 8 and 8.5% pound return on a net basis. Remember, interest rates have come down a little bit. And to your point, we haven't had a capital loss that impacts investors in our seven-year track record. And I think maybe just really importantly to touch on that, that doesn't mean that there aren't events that take place in the underlying portfolio, which we have had, absolutely. But I think baked into the lending business model is that you've got to have diversification and you've got to have really good security, in this instance, a bond against the property, so that if things do go wrong, that diversification and that security protects you. And certainly we've been tested. We were tested in 2020, 2021 through COVID, and then we were tested again through, call it some of the tough market conditions we've seen in the UK over the last while. But fortunately, the portfolio has held up, and I think that's credit to the quality of our investment process.
And talking about that tough market in the UK, is it improving?
I'd say yes. I'd say it is improving, and we saw it in the second half of last year that obviously, it's been fascinating to watch what the economic outlook is globally, especially around things like interest rates. You know, and with the Trump presidency coming in, there was a whole lot of euphoria in the market. And then what we saw now more recently in the market is a little bit of concerns around whether that euphoria was warranted or not, and whether Trump's agenda is actually a growth agenda. So the world we are in is a fascinating one because I think volatility and uncertainty is what abounds. And I don't think anybody, Alec, truly knows what the outlook is from an interest rates and growth perspective going forward. So certainly from midway through last year, we saw an improvement in deal flow and general levels of optimism, I'd say, in the UK market. But that has more recently tempered a little bit, and I think reality is setting in. I often say this, Alec, we probably perform as a business better in bear markets or in tougher times than in bull markets when things are flying. The reason is that we're looking to be the clever capital. We're looking to be the money that is in a deal that is getting higher returns in the level of risk we're taking for whatever reason. In a tough market, there's a limited amount of capital that's available, and therefore you can negotiate harder. In a really, really strong market, if you're not the cheapest, sort of in terms of pricing, then someone else will do it. And so I think the environment right now has actually been really conducive to us originating transactions because of the level of uncertainty and because of the fact that the UK has been, I mean, the UK is by no means in a bad place. It was the top inbound capital jurisdiction last year, as an example. But it certainly is characterized by a lot of volatility and a lot of the lenders have pulled back for a variety of reasons in the market. So we found it really, really useful as an environment to originate deals. And the growth of our offering has, I suppose, spoken to that. You know, I think we grew at more than 50% last year.
Hmm. What about the UK equity market? It's been tipped for so long as being having huge rebound potential. Now, clearly, if you grew at 50% last year, your clients at least are saying, whoa, let me rather stick with the debt. But are you seeing that there is potential for an outperformance from UK equities?
So look, Alec, we're micro guys. We're closer to being private equity investors than we are listed equity managers. So we're looking much more at the fundamentals of the transactions that we do. And so I can comment to it sort of in that vein. I'm not going to try and give you comments on the market as a whole, which is not really what we do. But I think from our perspective, we're looking at it sort of as a two-tiered approach. As I mentioned, M&A activity has picked up. Interest rates have come down a little bit in the UK. And so to give you a sense, in 2023, our private equity business did 3 deals in the UK. Last year, we did 0. We already have 2 or 3 in the pipeline for this year, and it's the beginning of March. So we definitely are seeing more transaction volume in the market. But I think from a Westbrook perspective, our view for this year is as follows. Private debt remains, call it the cornerstone of a client's portfolio and something that works for everyone, irrespective of what the market might look like at a macro level. Then private equity we will do on an opportunistic basis as and when it makes sense. And then I think somewhere in the middle, which is what we call hybrid capital, which is where Westbrook as a business participates in, call it debt-led investments that have the ability to outperform by taking equity kickers and warrants and so on, is an area of the market where we really, really are looking to capitalize this year. And that's probably on the basis that we think equities have, or the equity market has the ability to outperform, but we'd like a little bit more protection on the debt.
So when we now have a look at the opportunities that are available through the Westbrook platform in the UK, can you go into the US or can you go into euros, for instance? Do you have those options?
Yeah, so turning back again to Yield Plus, which is the flagship private debt fund, the one thing that was sort of a characteristic last year was dollar strength or pound weakness, whichever way you want to look at it. And so we do have dollar entry points for that fund, which I think has been a nice way for our clients to juice their returns. So to be clear, the underlying assets are still in and around the major 6 metros of the UK, and they are pound assets. But the dollar share class does 2 things. It obviously hedges out your risk of any appreciation of the dollar against the pound or the other way around, depending on how you want to look at it. And also for those clients who manage and assess the performance of their portfolios in dollars, it's just very useful. That's the first thing. I think the second thing to talk about briefly, Alec, is the tax efficiency. So the other thing about being a manager who's focused on South Africans is that we package everything in a way that really works well for Alec in Hermanus or Dino in Joburg, whatever it may be. And so in my instance, what would happen if I invested in Westbrook Yield Plus is if I chose to receive the distributions, which are paid out as a dividend every quarter, I would pay tax on an offshore dividend, which in South Africa for an individual is a 20% tax rate, as opposed to 45% tax, which you'd pay if you were in some form of an interest-bearing account. If I chose not to take my money out and to just allow the income to roll up, which often is what our clients do, then I'd only pay CGT at a maximum rate currently of 18% when I eventually sell. And so I think the summary is there are multiple ways that you can enhance returns for clients. You can do it by being clever on the transaction side, which certainly is the key premise of what we do in Yield Plus. And then there are ancillary things that you can do on a post-tax basis to really, really drive that what's called alpha, that uncorrelated return in a client's portfolio. And given that we're focused on South Africans, it's something we've been able to do quite effectively for a long time now.
Well, being focused on South Africans, you are only too aware that we have a government that's desperate to get money from wherever, and in particular, looking at high net worth individuals. Is there anything that one can do before the budget? And the budget's just around the corner. It's not even 10 days away, this rescheduled budget. Anything one can do now to minimize the risk that you could be given higher taxes on the 12th?
Yeah, I suppose the answer to that question is what type of higher taxes one may receive. Obviously, the VAT escalation seems to be the talk at the moment. And the latest that I read on that is that President Ramaphosa seems to be looking to a compromise on the VAT increase. Not so much you can do about VAT, but to the extent that some form of a wealth tax comes about, that obviously is something which is of concern. For investments that are made locally, Alec, I think it's a well-understood market, and certainly a lot of South Africans have got money invested in the usual structures, pension funds, living annuities, etc., which are to some degree tax efficient and as tax efficient as they can be. But as soon as one leaves the South African tax net, which is obviously not so easy to do with exchange control, you can get the million rand out a year, but you need approval to get the other nine. Once you are in the world of investing offshore, it becomes much more, your opportunity set increases substantially. So for example, the use of offshore endowment wrappers are really, really popular for accessing our product. Why? Because there is a level of tax efficiency in those policies. And also there are estate duty and sort of death tax benefits in those types of investments. So what I would say is I wouldn't knee-jerk, is my personal opinion. When it comes to a budget, I would, if you haven't already, get a hold of a well-qualified wealth advisor who knows how these types of things work and map out your portfolio strategically that has a local and an offshore allocation. And that offshore allocation, there are ways that you can get really clever around how you structure. And I think certainly the combination of a really good wealth advisor working in conjunction with a Westbrook gives you probably your best opportunity in maximizing your returns into the future.
So reflect, think about it carefully, and don't knee-jerk. I like that. Dino Zoccolo is a director at Westbrook. I'm Alec Hogg from biznews.com.